San Diego Center for Spiritual Living, Sunday, November 27, 2022. Today's lesson is Where Your Heart Lives with Reverend Dr. Constance Cook Core. Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, another beautiful Sunday morning, another time to spend with those that we love, that we cherish, that we honor, that we respect. Another time to gather in our spiritual home. And that makes perfect sense because this month of November, our theme has been home. Like I have mentioned several times, home is one of those terms like finances that has multiple pages of definitions because home is, it is so closely related to the heart. It can be where you're from. People can isolate it from the heart and say, where I'm from, this is my hometown, this is my home nation. It can be where you live now. Well, where is your home? Well, it's in San Diego. But where are you from? Well, I'm not from San Diego. It can be where your heart is. Where is your home? It's with my children, with my family members, with my spiritual community. The thing about home is what we call our own home is a place where we experience a sense of welcome and love and acceptance. And that place that I'm talking about doesn't have to be a physical place. It can be, I feel at home with this group, and wherever we go, this is where we are home. It can be, I am always at home, remembering the presence of the divine within me. So home is relative. Like Noble was saying in his opening, everything is relationship. Everything is related, and we are all related. I was reading earlier this week an article, a very brief article, talking about how everybody's cousins of Lucy. Anybody remember that primate Lucy that they found? I think she was found in Africa, and they determined that everybody in the world is related to her. I never met my great 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 Aunt Lucy. But with the DNA and genetic evidence, the scientists claiming that we are all related to her, we are all cousins of some sort to each other. That made me think about how we are all related to each other through the infinite presence of the divine. We could look at our source as Lucy in one sense, not literally, but saying, well, if we all here on earth are related to Lucy, we all here on earth are related to each other through our divine inheritance, through our spiritual DNA. And I just thought that was kind of cool. Because as we all know, we have one power, one presence, one infinite intelligence, which flows through all creation. And we call this God, the Living Spirit Almighty, the one, indestructible, absolute, and self-existent cause in which we live and move and have our being. Now, Lucy the primate was not the earthly intelligence, the earthly source, the way we think of the divine source. But keep in mind that within Lucy was that same one power and presence, that same infinite intelligence, that same life source that flows through all creation because, oh well, now we figured it out. Lucy is part of all creation. So are you. So am I. So just as this world claims Lucy as their ancestor, we can claim the divine as our ancestral source. We are always at home in the divine, because that is where we can be our authentic self. That is where we have our sense of always being welcome, our sense of being loved and accepted, because we are all already accepted. God cannot stand against itself. Therefore, you are automatically accepted because you are God itself. We can have opinions about ourselves. I was listening to a talk sometime this week, and one of the things it talked about was when we try to separate ourselves from the source. Oh, I know what it was. It was talk about the church being the body of God, and how you can't say, this is my body, I am my body, except my hand. Yeah, my hand, nope. No, my hand is separate. And I have no control over my hand. So if my hand runs around smacking people, not me. No, it was the hand. And the hand has a specific function, especially with these opposable thumbs. The feet have specific functions. They support us. We walk. We can't very well say, well, my left foot isn't a part of my body. It's kind of hard to walk if we don't have control of the parts of our body. If we don't have dominion over the parts of our body. So just as this is our body, all things in nature, including people, are part of the body of the universe, the body of the divine. And each one of us has a very special role to play in this thing we call life. Each one of us is loved and accepted. Each one of us is wanted and needed. Each one of us live in the heart of the divine. Our lesson for today is where your heart lives, and with the theme of home, we know that home is this sense, this feeling. James Baldwin said, "Perhaps home is not a place, but an irrevocable condition, I think I mentioned that in the first week. Perhaps home is not a place, but an irrevocable condition. Now, that condition sounds like, yeah, sounds like that could be the word. Because, you know, somebody gets a cold, they have the condition of a cold. You know, somebody has an ailment. We might check on them and say, well, how are you in your condition? Older people, when they go when they go to the doctor, it is so frustrating because the doctor says, well, you're doing really fine for your age. It's like, hey, am I doing fine or not? Because me, I think I'm doing fine. And I've been fine for a long time. I've been fine for more years lately, but yeah. It's not, there's no caveat. There's no no limitation. So I guess we could call home a condition. But I don't like that word. I like using home as a state of being. An awareness that this is where we are loved and safe. And like our song earlier said, I'm going to make this place your home. Other people can help us. Other people can provide things for us or guide us. But it is within ourselves to know that we are always, already at home, and simply accept that. This Sunday is also the first Sunday of Advent. The first Sunday of the Advent season. Now, the word Advent means to arrive or to have something come into being. In the secular lexicon, Advent is spelled with a small a, a lowercase a. And that means the start of something or coming into existence, such as the advent of a computer, the advent of the cell phone, the advent of the light bulb. Now, both the cell phone and the computer have been called the dawning of a new age. Not the age of Aquarius, but the dawning of a new technological age for communication. For millions of religious and spiritual believers throughout the world, the word Advent with a capital A is an awakening or a dawning of a sacred consciousness. It's a time of preparation and anticipation of the birth of Jesus, the coming of the Christ child into the world. It's a time to prepare our homes, our minds, and our hearts for the joyous celebration of Christmas. Our homes, our hearts, and our minds, which I claim is one and the same. The season of Advent is a Yuletide tradition, and it has been since the year 600 AD, or CE, but since this is a church, we're going to stick with AD, Anno Domini, and it continues to this day. It is symbolized, Advent is symbolized by lighting a candle on the four Sundays before Christmas. The four candles that are arranged on this Advent wreath represent the spiritual journey of awakening through hope, love, joy, and peace. For today and the next three Sundays, I will light three purple and one pink candles. And these represent each of the attributes of the Advent season. Right now, I'm going to light the first purple candle of Advent, which is the candle of hope. Come on. Hope. I hoped it would light, and it did. Hope has several interpretations. Many people think that hope is good to have. After all, hope is better than despair. However, it's a subtle illusion and an unconscious compromise of sorts. When you say hope is better than despair, it's nothing more than wishing or dreaming that something would happen. Someone could say, I hope I get a job, or I hope everything works out. However, the spiritual meaning of hope, the one we use in Science of Mind teachings, represents trust, faith, and expectancy. Hope is a knowingness and the quiet expectancy of good. The Science of Mind philosophy and teaching recognizes that there is a divine solution to any problem, even though we may not see it at the time. In fact, when we call things problems, we're categorizing them as things that are bad. It's better if we call them issues or circumstances, because then we can look at them clearly, knowing that the truth is already unfolding in any situation. We can hope, we can know with an expectancy of good that everything is unfolding perfectly, whether it looks like it to us in the moment or not. Hope requires faith in an invisible power and presence. That's cool. We already know we have one power and one presence, and we're part of it. In the Holy Scripture, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 1, it is written, Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hope is the spiritual realization that something greater is about to demonstrate in your life that changes the course of current events. I'm going to say that again. Hope is the spiritual realization that something greater is about to demonstrate in your life that changes the course of current events. That's a good thing. That's a very good thing. The word hope in our Science of Mind philosophy has a different meaning than that of Webster's Dictionary, or even of the collective consciousness of the world. Dr. Ernest Holmes, founder of the religious science movement and author of the Science of Mind textbook, said it in this way. Hope is good. It is better than despair, but it is a subtle illusion and is an unconscious compromise that something good may come along. Hope, H-O-P-E, healthy options planned every day. Healthy options planned every day. Ooh, so are you ready for a wonderful affirmation? Yes or yes?
Yes.
Awesome. Okay, so place your hand over your heart and repeat after me. Today.
Today.
I have the hope. The faith.
The faith.
The trust.
The trust.
And the expectancy of good.
And the expectancy of good.
For a wonder-filled and heartfelt.
For a wonder-filled and heartfelt.
Holiday season of love and light.
Holiday season of love and light.
And so it is.
And so it is.
So just breathe in. You have just claimed a wonder-filled and heartfelt season of love and light. How powerful you are. How powerful. Whoa. I claimed it too. This is awesome. These holidays are going to be just magnificent and filled with wonder, everyday wonder, and the magnificent wonder of the ages with the power of love and renewal in this season. And we get to see it all. We get to see it all. In the Bible, Jeremiah book, chapter 29, verse 13, he wrote, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with your whole heart." You will seek me and find me when you seek me with your whole heart. How many times have we said, "Oh, I want to do that," and then we half-heartedly take a few steps to go get it done. But it, you know, if we don't get it, it's no big deal. You know, did I really need that new CD? Did I really need that new pair of shoes? Interesting story. When I went up to do the memorial service for my sister, I stepped on something and popped the heel off the back of my heel. First day I got up there. Couldn't find a shoe repair shop. So my niece and I went to the mall, and we went to Macy's, and they were having some huge sale. And I bought a new pair of black heels. They were kind of loose on me, but they would work. You know, I wasn't going to be going out dancing. I was going to be standing in the church, in the chapel, honoring my sister. So as we were walking out, we saw a shoe repair shop that was still open. So my new shoes, and we walk in this, and I'm thinking, I really want to wear my own shoes. You know, don't want new shoes on this. So he was very kind. And he fixed my shoe on the spot, put a whole new little cap on it, buffed it out, whatever they do. So my shoes, the heels I was planning, looked brand new. So here I am with two beautiful pair of black heels. That morning, when I went to do the service, I took both pair. And throughout the service, they were different heights. So throughout the service, I would switch them off as different things were happening. You know, like when somebody came up to talk, then I would step right around the edge and take off the real high heels and put on the lower heels. And then, you know, do some more, and somebody else would come, and I would take off the lower heels and put on the higher heels, because then I was going to be there and they needed to see me better. Why am I saying this? Because I half-heartedly got those new shoes. I didn't want those new shoes. I wanted my shoes. But I had to be prepared, so I got those shoes. And by putting forth the effort, I wound up in the mall where I could get my shoes repaired. So you never know what's coming. You never know what's coming. The next day I told my daughter, and she goes, oh, so you have new black heels. I need to get some too. I said, well, what size do you wear? She wore the size that I had to buy because they didn't have my size. So I got a pair of shoes for you. Everything works out perfectly. Because we are seeking not specifically a pair of shoes. We are seeking divine and perfect order. We are seeking that which makes us feel welcome, loved, accepted, makes us feel at home. For me, having the right black heels made me feel at home and comfortable in this, what I had to do. Our CSL journal has a quote for today. It's, I am at home wherever I go. I am at home wherever I go. And I want to add to that. I am at home wherever I go because I am at home where I am. Back in 1942, Harold Arlen and Johnny Mercer wrote a song. It was called, Any Place I Hang My Hat is Home. Well, we've turned that into a phrase, or else they turned the phrase into the song. But it's, any place where I hang my hat is the place that I call home. Because home is within. It goes with you wherever you go. So if you are on a trip, you go to a hotel, you take your hat off, you hang your hat, you're home. You're home. Maybe not your home residence, but you have within you all of the love and the acceptance right where you are. Your heart lives right where you are. You are always at home. Ernest Holmes, in writing about effective prayer, emphasized the feeling nature when praying for a home rather than the physical specifics. Your idea of home is unique to you. This is in the Science of Mind textbook, page 458, the sixth paragraph, through page 459, the second paragraph. Okay? Let us remember that true prayer is always universal. There can be no good to us alone, only as that good is for all. This does not mean that we are to refrain from asking for what we desire, but that we should wish only for that which is good. For instance, it is good to have a home. It is good for all people to have homes while here on earth. It is right to ask for one, but it would not be right to ask for one belonging to another. If we wish to pray for a home, we should take the idea of a house with us into the silence and meditate upon its actual being. We should believe that we have and own a home, but we should leave the idea free to fulfill itself without any definite choosing of how, where, why, or when. In this way, we pray aright. When we so pray, we pray effectively. He says, God wills us to have everything. As we express life, we fulfill God's law of abundance, but we do this only as we realize that there is good enough to go around. Only as we know that all God's gifts are given as freely and fully as the air and the sunshine, alike to us all. Alike to us all. There is more than enough for everyone. We can remember that because we understand that there is an unlimited, infinite source. And that source creates infinite substance and infinite supply. The divine is our source, our substance, and our supply. It is our source in that we are home in this awareness. It is our substance in that we have this place. We have houses and homes and apartments where we can call them homes, where we can be peaceful knowing that we are internally already home. And it is our supply, that with which we pay for our homes, my own natural energy yield. And yet we are working with the infinite energy, the infinite wholeness. So hope is an expectancy of good. Home is where the heart is. I am at home wherever I go because I am at home where I am. And in Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, it says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And what does that tell us? Is it about money? Where do we spend our money? Because where we spend our money is where we are led to by our heart. What do we consider a treasure? What I consider a treasure is relationships, home, welcome, love, expectancy, our expectancy of the relationships, expectancy of home, of that feeling of home, expectancy of always being welcome to the infinite presence, of being open to receive the love that we are made of through each other and through an awareness that we are love. And an expectancy of acceptance. Think about that. Expect to be absolutely accepted, whoever you are, wherever you are, why ever you are there, because each one of us is a divine creation. We are unique, and yet we are one. It would be nice if everyone knew that. If everyone had come to that awareness already. My guess is anyone who wants to make us feel like we are not accepted hasn't figured it out yet. Now, let me give that a caveat. Each person is accepted, acceptable, accepted worthy, always. Some behavior, however, is unacceptable. And it's okay to say, I love you as a fellow divine being. However, I will not put up with that behavior because I respect myself more than to accept that behavior. My boundaries are my self-respect and my love for myself and my love for you to not enable unacceptable behavior. What's unacceptable behavior? Beating the crap out of somebody for no good reason. I mean, it's like, whoa. There's so many more constructive things to do with your physical energy. Heck, run around the block. We are entering into the season of light, the holiday season. Keep in mind that this is a very sacred time in all faiths. So we not only have Advent, but we have Hanukkah coming up. And then we have Kwanzaa. And people say Kwanzaa isn't really a religious holiday. And it's like, well, yes and no. Yes and no. It's about spiritual principles. To me, that means spiritual, if not categorically religious. Like, it's not a Methodist holiday or a Methodist spiritual practice, but it's a spiritual practice that goes beyond organized religious groups. And there is no separation. We all get to celebrate these because these are all ways to honor our faith, our spiritual home, that sense of home, the roots that we have in our history, where we can also say, yes, these are my roots, but mine are not constrained by everything I learned from organized religions. My roots are free to grow, knowing that there are no limitations. My branches are free to grow and turn those little leaves into wings. We are always home in spirit because our home is all of the universe. In Psalm chapter 100, verse 4, it says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Using his and him to identify the divine and home. His gates, home. His courts, divine order, home. Being grateful, well, sure. So grateful for everything that there is. Reverend Mary Emma Dryden wrote something, and I'd like to kind of wrap things up with this. She wrote, have you ever reflected on how appropriate it is to have Thanksgiving precede Christmas? Finding the good and celebrating it will lead to our growth in realizing who we really are. When we choose to live with a grateful heart, we expand our ability to remember the truth implanted in each of us at the moment of creation. We prepare the way for the birth in each of us of the Christ consciousness. What did she say? The truth implanted in each of us at the moment of creation. She's not talking about when we were conceived as humans. She's talking about the creation of the universe, the Big Bang, the breath of God, whatever it was. God breathed and the universe was created. And the truth that we get to remember, the truth of our home, where we're from, where we truly live, who our family is. That has been the truth within us since the very moment of creation. You are at home where your heart lives. Your heart lives as part of the infinite love of the divine. You are always, always home. So I thank you for your time and your attention. Namaste.